Well, before we begin our Torah study this evening, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. The journey that we're on sometimes brings us to a fork in the road where there are two choices and only two choices, and where it's only possible to go down one path. And our future may absolutely depend on which path that we choose. That kind of clarity and that kind of simplicity, what you could call a binary choice, either this way or that way. It's the essence of this week's Torah portion. Moses puts it this way. There are two places you can be. You can be in the place of blessing, or you can be in the place of the curse. The place of blessing is the place where you're close with God, listening to him and being obedient to him. The other place is without God. Two paths. One is with God, one is without. And in Deuteronomy, in this week's portion, chapter 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse. It's that simple sometimes. There is a way that's filled with the blessing of God, and then there's another way. Now later, as we're reading Deuteronomy this year, we will come across another passage. It's Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I've set before you life and death. Say that with me. Life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life. Say that with me. Choose life. You see, there's a choice involved. It's like the road goes this way and the road goes that way. You choose the road of life. Choose the path of life. And there's a reason, so that you and your children may live, and so that you may love the Lord your God. You see, this is not just about what religious activity you're going to engage in. It is about where you're going to place your heart, so that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Say that with me. The Lord is your life. Choose life. Choose blessing. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that to choose the path of God requires courage, and it requires hope, and it requires faith. And these three qualities will help you face the challenges of life successfully. Now, I want to introduce you to a passage. You may be familiar with it, or it may be brand new to you. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 1. It's an interesting story. I was reading it with one of my prayer partners, Michelle Allen, a few weeks ago. It's a challenging story about trials and tribulations, difficulties and adversity. And it says this in verse 1, David, this is the one who will become King David, was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they're looting the threshing floors. And so he inquired of the Lord. I'm going to read some excerpts from this. And he said, shall I go and attack these Philistines? He was ready to defend the people of Israel who were under attack from the Philistines. And he got a response from the Lord, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. David's men, however, said to him, listen, we're in Judah, and even though we're here, we're afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? Do you see, David had a vision. It was a vision to stand up for the people Israel. And he understood that he had a calling. He had a calling to spend his life, to give his effort in this most difficult task, which is to lead and to protect Israel. Now, when you understand that, then you can understand that those that stand up for Israel face adversity. They face resistance. Do you know Israel has enemies? Is that news to you? Israel has enemies and has had enemies for a long time. David had to face those enemies. This is not just about politics and elections. This is much more dangerous than that. David's men, they're prepared for battle. They're soldiers. They've learned to fight. They've had some experience. But they tell the truth. You know, it's scary already. And you want us to go into a more terrifying place? Do you understand what you're asking of us? Once again, David inquires of the Lord, and the Lord answers him. You see, David brought these questions, these matters to the Lord. Lord, what should I do? My men are afraid. And this is what the Lord says to him in verse 4. You go down to Keilah, for I'm going to give the Philistines into your hand. And so David and his men went to Keilah. They fought the Philistines. They carried off their livestock. And he inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Verse 7. Saul. Do you know who Saul is? King Saul, the first king of Israel. He knew David. He knew of David. And yet he was against David. He saw David as his political threat, as an enemy. David was not really his enemy. But Saul didn't understand that. Saul was told, verse 7, that David had gone down to Keilah, and he said, God has delivered him into my hands because David has trapped himself by entering a town with gates and bars. In other words, Saul realizes David has gone into a city that has gates, and it has bars of iron around to protect itself. And when he goes in, you know what? There's only one way out, through the gates. And so King Saul sees this as the opportunity to catch David, who he perceives as his enemy. Who was really the enemy? The Philistines. Who should Saul have been paying attention to? The Philistines. But he's trying to get at David. And he says, God has delivered him into my hands. He says that, for David has trapped himself. Verse 8, Saul called up all of his forces for battle to go down to David and to besiege David and his men. Verse 9, when David learned that Saul was plotting against him, when David learned that Saul was ready to attack him, had found out where he was and was ready to do something terrible, David prayed, verse 10, and he said, Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come down to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the leaders of Keilah surrender me to him? That's his question. Will Saul come down, as your servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, tell your servant what's going to happen. What a prayer. You know what the answer is? If you have your Bible, just read the next verse. And the Lord answered and said, he will. You know, when you're praying and you're in a difficult spot, that is not the answer that you want. Isn't it true? When we feel pressure, what we want to know is everything's going to be okay. So now David knows something. The Spirit of God tells him, Saul will come down. And he will attack the town and even destroy the town in order to get David. Okay, so David prays some more. Here's the next question. Will the leaders of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? Now, you know the answer if you were praying that you would want, oh, I would never let that happen. Never. They'll never give you up. Remember, David has already rescued the city. They have a debt to him. He's in their city now, and David's saying, oh God, I need to know something. Will the men of the city, will the leaders of the city give me up? Will they turn me over to Saul, or are they going to fight for us? Will they surrender me? And the Lord says, they will. They will surrender you. After all you've done for them, they will surrender you. Now you can understand this. If the city is surrounded by troops and put under siege just to survive, the people would give David and his men up. And so the question is what to do. And I want you to try to enter into the emotion of this situation. Imagine the kind of situation that causes you to worry. Does anybody have a worry? Does anyone have a care? Is everybody just happy? No problems? No difficulties? But let me ask you a question. When you find out that things are going to go bad, is that the time to give up? Is it the time to think that everything is lost? Is it the time to wallow in self-pity and say, after all I did, look at what they do to me. Look at how they treat me. Is it the time for depression? Is it the time to say to yourself, you know what? Nothing ever works out for me. I give up. I quit. What's the point? Is it the time to just be angry with God? God, I tried to serve you and obey you and to seek you and even to follow you. And this is what happens. Well, I want you to pay attention to what David did. He didn't get depressed. He didn't get angry. He didn't give up. Verse 13, David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah, and they kept moving from place to place. I love this. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he didn't even go there. You see, David left the city, and they went on the move so that it wasn't easy to find them. And it says in verse 14 that David stayed in the wilderness strongholds in the hills of the desert of Ziph, and day after day Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. David knew what was going to happen. The men will give you up. He knew that would happen. And so what did he do? Did he wait for that circumstance for the men to give him up? Mm-mm. You know what he did? He chose life, not death. He chose the blessing, not the curse. When you're thinking about choose life, you know, you can think, oh, it's this or it's that. For David, choosing life meant this: I want to live. I know what men are going to do. I know what's going to happen. I know the threat we're in, and I'm going to live for tomorrow. I'm not going to waste my life. Now, what if David was just paralyzed with depression and fear and thought, you know what? The men are going to give me up. I'm just going to sit it out and wait for it to happen. What if he was fatalistic? What if he thought it was the will of God for the men to surrender him? He might have just given up and given in, but he didn't. You see, he asked this question, will the men give me up? And the Lord said, they will. Now, if you don't understand dialogue with God, you might think, well, that's the end of the matter. They're going to give me up. It's settled. God's answered it. I just need to count down until that happens. No, that's not always how you respond. When you get an answer, this is what's going to happen, you have to know, is that the will of God that it happened, or does God want you to choose life instead of death? Someone's against you. Do you just give up? Do you just feel bad? No, you have to discern. You have to know. Choose life. Don't choose death. Choose the blessing. Don't choose the curse. Seek the Lord and stay close with him, even in times of trouble. Think about this. If the Jewish people gave up, just because of mistreatment and adversity, we would have long ago ceased to exist. If simply because other people were against us and we had prayed, Lord, will there be anti-Semites tomorrow? And he says, there will. Will they fire rockets at our people? They will. Imagine if all of our people just said, well, I give up. Guess what? There would not be a Jewish people. We'd already be gone. You see, we have to learn something, how to persevere, how to be courageous, how to develop fortitude, how to look beyond the present circumstances into a good future. And this is difficult for some people. Some people find it much easier to imagine things going from bad to worse. But let me tell you this, adversity like David faced, this is a part of life. Now turn to the person sitting nearest you and say, I don't like it either. I don't like it either. I don't like it that it's part of life, but I want to tell you the truth, it is part of life. Adversity is part of our life. And sadly, so is being mistreated. Now, if you can say this with tenderness to the person next to you, then try saying, I'm sad to tell you, but you will be mistreated. Somebody will mistreat you. Now, can you verify that it's true that people will mistreat you? Who can verify that? Anybody been mistreated in the last month? Last week? Last 24 hours? Last 10 minutes? No, I don't answer that question. You see, we all know something. We've been mistreated and we will be mistreated. I don't want you to be shocked by adversity or mistreatment, and I don't want you to become cynical about it. I don't want you to get to the place where you say, you know what? Nobody's good. Nobody can be trusted. People aren't worth it. I don't want you to give up on life or give up on people simply because of adversity or because of mistreatment. The life of faith is not about the easier path. Now, if you ask someone this question, which would you rather have, blessing or curse? All in favor of blessing, raise your hand. Nobody wants the curse, right? Nobody. The question is, when it comes to choosing the things that lead to blessing, not everybody does that. And you know why? Because the life of faith that brings blessing is not about the easier path. The life of faith, of trust in God, can be the more difficult path. It often requires harder choices, more sacrifices, and a willingness to not avoid circumstances simply because they are difficult. With God, you and I have access to His unlimited love, to His favor, to His grace. And you know what? With His power and with His strength and with His Spirit, you and I can face our challenges. Even when we're trapped in a situation, even when we discover that yes, people will mistreat us. Lord, those people I just rescued, are they going to stand with us? No. They're going to give you up. That person at work who you stood up for, are they going to stand with you? Nah. What do you do? What do you do? You discover how to choose life in those situations. This week, in Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. It has a beautiful statement. It says that each one is to appear before the Lord with his own gift, proportional to the blessing that the Lord has given to you. That you come to the Lord and you give to him according to the measure of what he's done to bless you. You give in proportion. You give what you can, and what you can is defined by the blessings that God has given you. The blessings that you have received become the resources that you draw on for your own generosity. In the same way, the protection that God has given you becomes the resource that you draw on for courage and for hope. Because you say to yourself, you know what? God's at work. He's been doing great things on my behalf. This week I was talking with Brenda Dorman, and she had a terrible experience just a few weeks ago, a terrible experience with her heart. And her heart started racing, I think, 150 beats a minute. And she was in AFib, and the doctors didn't know what to do. And she was admitted to the hospital, and while she was in the hospital, she was in her room, I think she was lying down. Someone came into the room and startled her so much that her heart stopped beating. And then I think she said she fainted. She passed out, and when she came to, her heart was normal. And so instead of being scared to death, she was being scared to life. Is that wild? That's wild. You see, you want to live your life in such a way that God can scare you to life, not to death. He can put things back together, even when they're falling apart. He can give you victory. That's hafuch. That's upside down. That's not the way it's supposed to work, isn't that right? Years ago, Sandy and I were doing some work around the house. We had a step ladder, maybe 7-foot ladder, and she was having some headaches. And there was some work that required that we move the ladder from one room to another, and she picked up the ladder. I don't think I was there right at the moment. And what she didn't realize is there was a hammer on top of the ladder. Yeah, she went to move it, and it fell off and hit her in the head. And after that, she didn't have any more headaches. Now, I'm not recommending that if you have headaches that you do that. I just discovered, though, that there are times when you can't imagine how God's going to put something right and how he's going to fix it. Isn't that terrible? Kind of terrible. Kind of wonderful, too, huh? There was a time Sandy and I were in Israel. We were driving around. Maybe I've told you this before. And we decided to go to Qumran, around the Dead Sea, that place where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, in the caves there. And we were trying to get there using a map. Is before the days of GPS and Apple phones and all sorts of things like that. And so we were trying to follow the map, and I knew I wasn't going quite right. We ended up going out up the Mount of Olives and past that. And as we were driving, there was an Arab salesman on the road selling postcards. And so, you know, he's like covered in postcards. I can barely describe to you the picture. And he starts waving and waving, and I think, oh man, what a pushy salesman. And he's trying to stop our car. Well, he gets in the middle of the road, and he's, you know, it's either run him down or stop. And so I stop. And he comes over to the window, and I don't know why, but I rolled the window down. And he said, "Don't go this way. They will stone your car because you have Jewish car," which meant we had Israeli license plates on the car. He was looking out for us. I thought he was just trying to make a buck. I thought he was just like irritating me. I wanted to buy all of his postcards after that. You see, God knows how to get your attention and how to spare you. He may use someone you couldn't even imagine. He may use a circumstance, a situation you can't even imagine to fix something on your behalf. And all that's required is that you pay attention. That's it. That's all that's required. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to make it work. You can't. You didn't. He did. I love this about King David. Will they surrender me? Yeah, for sure. What does he do? On the run. He goes into the desert. He hides in the wilderness with 600 men. And there they're safe. And he waits for the time when it turns out that Saul loses interest and stops pursuing him. There are times when you can seek God and he'll tell you, "Oh, it's not going to go well." And you have to understand that's not the final word. That just helps you understand what you need to do, so that it goes better than bad, so that it works out okay for you. There were times when Sandy and I were flying from St. Petersburg, Russia to Kiev, Ukraine on a plane that I wasn't sure was airworthy. And it had a terrible sign. It had inside the plane in English, It had a rope hanging by the window and a sign, "In an emergency, break window and climb out." We had friends with us who had never flown on such an airplane. And the whole time they were in their seats, it was a white knuckle experience. They were so exhausted when we landed, they couldn't even walk. But I remember when I saw this and we felt the shaking and the uncertainty of everything. We knew the plane was not necessarily a great plane. I said to Sandy, "You never want to get on a plane like this with the feeling that you've done everything in life that you need to do. Because you want to be able to say, 'Lord, there's more. I know this isn't the end because there's more.'" You see, that's what David was holding on to. There's more. It's not time to give up. It's not time to be taken by Saul and killed. There's more. That's what choosing life is all about. It's saying to God, "There's more with you. There's more." And holding on to him, knowing this, you can trust him through the difficulty. You can trust him through the change. You can trust him through the adversity. And he will get you through. Choose life, friends. Choose life in Messiah. Choose life in God. It's the best choice you could ever make. Let's pray. God of mercy, God of life, you are so fascinating. Speak your words of life into our hearts tonight, into our minds, that we might be invigorated by your power, that we might see how to choose life. Lord, if we have been choosing to give up or to give in because simply we are facing adversity or mistreatment or even betrayal, strengthen us, renew us, empower us for something else, that we would choose life and the blessing that comes from you, that we would love you and find our lives in you. Thank you, Lord, God of life, for your mercy. Thank you for the healing for Brenda. Thank you, Lord, for Nikita Painter, who was just born only a few days ago. Let him enjoy life. Thank you for the new life here in Jacksonville that you give to the Korshan family. We choose you. We choose life in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. Don't be by yourself. I want to ask the Korshan family to come join us up here to stand with us. Join us if you will. I like it when you don't stand alone because it's a way of saying to yourself, I'm not alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navilecha v'yisemlecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, his shalom, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Once again, come greet the Korshan family and introduce yourself, the first of many times to introduce yourself.